One of my kajai. Saha. He. Eva. Certainly. Puriyam. Within the city. Madhubu. Enjoying sex life. Panchaleshu. In the kingdom of Panchala. Five sense objects. So Parshadahai, along with his followers, Upanitam, brought, Balim, taxes, Grinan, accepting, Strijitaha, conquered by women, Na, did not, Avadat, understand, Vayam, fear of death. Translation, King Paranjana collected taxes in the city known as Panchala, and then was able to engage in sexual indulgence. Being completely under the control of women, he could not understand that his life was passing away and that he was reaching the point of death. So you can repeat, King Paranjana collected taxes. In the city known as Panchala. And thus was able to engage in sexual indulgence. Being completely under the control of women. He could not understand that his life was passing away and that he was reaching the point of death. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. Government men, including kings, presidents, secretaries, and ministers, are in a position to utilize taxes collected from the citizens for sense gratification. It is stated in Śrīmad Bhāgavatam that in this Kali Yuga, government men, Rajanyas, and those connected with the government, as well as exalted government ministers, secretaries, and presidents, will all simply collect taxes for sense gratification. The government is top-heavy, and without increasing taxes, the government cannot maintain itself. When taxes are collected, they are utilized for the sense gratification of the government officials. Such irresponsible politicians forget that there is a time when death will come to take away all their sense gratification. Some of them are convinced that after life, everything is finished. This atheistic theory was conceived long ago by a philosopher called Charvaka. Charvaka recommended that man should live very opulently by either begging, borrowing, or stealing. He also maintained that one should not be afraid of death, the next life, the past life, or an impious life, because after the body is burnt to ashes, everything is finished. This is the philosophy of those who are too much materially addicted. Such philosophizing will not save one from the danger of death, nor will it save one from an abominable afterlife. Okay? Saiva Puriyam Madhubuk Panchaleshu Svaparshadahai Upanitam Balhim Grinan Strijato Navidad Vayam. So Om Ganat Madandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, in this particular verse and purport, you find mentioned two of the bewildering factors in this material world. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions these in his Shikshashtaka, doesn't it? Dhanam Janam Sundarim. Of course, Janam is not mentioned here, but Dhanam and Sundarim is mentioned. Two things. That's wealth and beautiful women, or for women, sundara, handsome men. Sometimes I remember when Vivek Oberoi was visiting the Sundapani Muni school, some of the girls would say, "Oh, sundara, how handsome." You know? And even, of course, the Western ladies sometimes I saw that when Vivek would shake their hand or something like that, they would just go, You know, so it applies for both sexes. You know, the bewilderment of the sexual attraction, whether it's subtle or gross or whatever. So you get these two factors. And so one may think that they're immune from these things. So I'm going to give some examples of great devotees who succumbed to these particular attractions. First, we'll take wealth. Of course, wealth leads to that sort of gross enjoyment anyway, because once you have wealth, you can enjoy gross enjoyment. I mean, without wealth, you don't have sufficient food, and basically gross enjoyment is kind of hard without sufficient food or without sufficient place to live or, you know, without, for the ladies, earrings or for the men, you know. I mean, no ladies are going to be attracted to a real scrawny man, and no man is going to be attracted to a lady who's just like completely drawn in her face, you know, just like that. It's just, usually it's not like that. Anyway, so let's take wealth in the beginning. So there's one interesting story. I can tell some stories in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's a story of a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name was Gopinath Patanayaka. Some of you may have heard this story. It's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Gopinath Patanayaka, he was a tax collector. In those days, tax collectors got to keep a portion of the taxes that they collected. That's just, it's an incentive. Actually, it's not a bad idea, because that would be an incentive. That means something that encourages you to collect more taxes. Nowadays, the tax collectors, you know, the IRS, they don't get a percentage. I don't know whether that's bad or good, but anyway, they have no incentive. They just get their salary regardless. Prabhupada mentioned that, like in communism, when people get maintained by the government, regardless of their performance, it encourages laziness. And I've also seen this within religious institutions. I'm not going to mention any. But I've also seen it within religious institutions. If you get maintained, you know, you get your three squares, that means three square meals, then the performance starts to drop and people become lazy, and also people are on charity or the dole, as they say, that's an English word, on the dole, that means charity or being maintained by the government, they become very lazy. And when you have to work for a salary, or like you have to work during the Christmas time at the calendar club or something like that, you really have to get it together and show up on time, isn't it? Yeah. Like what time of does it open up the calendar club malls?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. So you have to be there, right? What? You have to be there at 8 o'clock. Yeah, you have to be there at 8. And what time does it close?
10 o'clock.
So you have to have someone there from 8 to 10 at night. You know, so we are here in the Krishna conscious movement. It's just like, got to take a little nap now. You know, when you work a job, it's not like that. Not that you can, any practically any job, unless you're the boss, then you can't show up at like 8 o'clock in the morning in the factory and tell the factory owner that you're tired, you need to take a nap. And says, okay, take a nap, don't worry, go 3 or 4 hours. Just like I have some disciples in, where is it, New Zealand, who work in this candy factory. They make candy canes. And before Christmas, they have, what is it, 3 shifts a day. That means they keep the machines running 24 hours a day. So they have to work in the middle of the night. I mean, they're getting up in the afternoon, and they're going to work at about 5 o'clock, and they keep working until about 5 o'clock in the morning. And so they have to show up. Anyway, that's a side issue. I don't know why I started talking about that, but it's interesting. So anyway, so originally the tax collectors, they would get a portion of the taxes as an incentive, and they would work real hard. When you don't have incentives, people don't work hard. That's a fact of life, unless one's a Brahmin. A Brahmin works hard, and a Kshatriya works hard. Without the incentives, but the Vaishya, he definitely needs incentives. And the Shudra, he needs the stick. That's a good incentive. So that if you don't work, don't eat. What do they say in the Chinese restaurant? No tiki, no shirty. Not restaurant, I mean the laundry, Chinese laundry. No tiki, no shirty. Ever heard that expression before? That if you don't pay, you're going to be washing the dishes. So this Gopinath Patanayaka, he was keeping too much. In those days, they didn't have coins. They used like little conch shells to signify money or to signify wealth. So anyway, so he was keeping too much of a percentage. And as a result, the Bhadajana means the older prince. He said to Gopinath Patanayaka that you should pay back, you know, what's due to the kingdom. And Gopinath Patanayaka, because he was caught red-handed, he said, all right, but take these horses. He had some horses for a fair price. You know, that'll probably pay back the debt. But this Bhadajana, the elder son of the king, he misestimated the horses. He gave a low estimate. And Gopinath Patanayaka got very upset at this. And the Bhadajana had a habit, it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of turning his head up like that. And Gopinath Patanayaka said, well, you should take my horses for a fair price. At least my horses don't turn their heads up like that. And so the Bhadajana got so upset that he said, we're going to collect this money from you one way or the other. And he condemned Gopinath Patanayaka to be thrown from the Changa. The Changa is the method by which they would kill people, like capital punishment in those days. They had a platform, and then below the platform there were these upraised swords. And so they would throw the person into the upraised swords from the platform, just push him off. And yeah, usually it was a threat to get someone to do something. So they put this Gopinath Patanayaka on this platform, ready to throw him into the upraised sword, the Changa. And because he was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore the other devotees went running to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, Gopinath Patanayaka, he's your great devotee. How can you allow this? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the king has done properly because he has taken this money, squandered it on dancing girls. He used the expression dancing girls, which is very similar to what we're discussing here. And so the king should somehow or other get his money back. He said, why disturb me? I'm a sannyasi. If you keep disturbing me with these pounds, shilling, and pence, you know, ordinary mundane things, I'm going to leave here. I'm going to leave. So the devotees got very scared at that point. But then not only did they arrest Gopinath Patanayaka, but they arrested Gopinath Patanayaka's father, Bhavananda Roy, along with his whole family. And it's described that Bhavananda Roy was an incarnation of Pandu from the Mahabharata. And his family were, his five sons were the five Pandavas, including Ramananda Roy. So they were all arrested. And Gopinath Patanayaka was still getting ready to be thrown from the Changa. So they went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, why are you bothering me with this again? And he asked, you know, what was Bhavananda Roy doing? Because they were all pure devotees. And they said that Bhavananda Roy was chanting the holy names constantly, utilizing his fingers, you know, to count, like people do sometimes, they count on their fingers. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, that's good, but I'm not going to get involved in this. What do you want me to do? He said, I am permitted as a sannyasi to beg for a little bit, but, you know, to beg for this inordinate amount, you know, this very large amount, something like $1 million worth of kahanas, that means little conchos. It's not appropriate for a sannyasi. Just leave me alone. So basically, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Gopinath Patanayaka got saved, even though Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu externally didn't go and intercede and then beg for mercy for Gopinath Patanayaka. What happened is that someone informed the king, and the king actually loved Gopinath Patanayaka and the whole family, but someone informed the king that the Bhadajana was getting ready to kill Gopinath Patanayaka, and he imprisoned the rest of the family. And the king forgave him. He said, look, let him just pay back at a good price. And I don't want to get involved because the Bhadajana just has this personal animosity toward Gopinath Patanayaka. So the king forgave him. And what happened is that that night, Kashi Mishra, who was one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, also an associate of the king, he was with the king. The king actually, massaged his feet every night, because this king was performing devotional service by massaging the great devotee's feet. And Kashi Mishra informed him that, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was concerned with the whole thing. And therefore, the king decided not only to pardon Gopinath Patanayaka, but to give him double the salary and to give him the same place for tax collection and pardon the whole family and give him this silken wrapper that indicated his great pleasure with Gopinath Patanayaka. And so he told Kashi Mishra, who was also Lord Chaitanya's associate, who was massaging the king's feet at this particular time, tell Lord Chaitanya that I'm not doing this because of his request or because he's associated with Lord Chaitanya, but because Bhavananda Roy and his whole family are like my family too, are very intimate associates of mine. So they told Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was pleased. So anyway, so the whole purpose of my telling that story was to indicate how even a great devotee can become bewildered when there's money or wealth concerned. Gopinath Patanayaka was squandering the government's money. That's directly described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. All right, so that's wealth. Now, as far as a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya becoming bewildered by attraction to the opposite sex, we'll tell that story too. Once upon a time, there was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. His name was Kala Krishnadas. And this Kala Krishnadas was given the duty of traveling with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in South India and of assisting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wherever he went to the holy places. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I mean, you can't get better association than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? I don't think there's any better association. Of course, we can argue maybe Prabhupada's better association, but anyway. But anyway, because a pure devotee, in one sense, is better association than God. So anyway, so he was associating directly with God, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he realized that. He saw many miracles that Lord Chaitanya performed. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And so in South India, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't paying attention to him for a little while. So this servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was stolen away by this group of gypsies, like gypsies, called the Bhattaharis. Anyone's heard of them before? The Bhattaharis, they're like gypsies, and they're like Brahminical gypsies, or they think they're Brahmanas, they're tantrics. They're tantric Brahmanas. Tantra just basically means to connect. It's not actually a bad thing. There's Vaishnava Tantra, like the Narada Pancharatra, the Narada Bhakti Sutras, the instructions in devotional service that connect us with Krishna. And there's left-handed Tantra. We've described that before in class. Left-handed Tantra means they use illicit sex, meat eating, fish eating, intoxication, all sorts of, let's say, nasty mudras. It's called the 5 M's. The 5 M's of Tantra, of left-handed Tantra. So basically, they lured him away using women. So what happened is that they brought some attractive women and they said, Hare Krishna, like that. And he just followed them, leaving aside the association of the Supreme Personality. God, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? You can imagine if you were with God, that you would, you know, you wouldn't leave that situation. Also, that same thing, similar thing happened to one of Prabhupada's servants. I'm not going to mention who. But, you know, Prabhupada said, don't go in the kitchen, because there's so many attractive ladies in the kitchen. It was in a temple where there were so many unmarried ladies, and I've seen in that temple sometimes the ladies, they gather looking at the men, so it's interesting. So it's not only that men are attracted to women, women are also attracted to men. So he went in the kitchen, and then he left Prabhupada's service as a result of that. And unfortunate. Later on, he came back to Prabhupada's service. So the point with Kala Krishnadas is he left the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead just to follow his own desires. It's not the lady's fault. Of course, the Vatahari is there, certainly at fault. But it's not that you want to blame ladies. It was his own lust, but he was inattentive. So he followed them, and he was captured by them, kept in the camp. Of course, what they did is they utilized the ladies to get someone, and then they turned the person into a slave or an indentured servant at that point. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there and to the camp of the Bhattaharis, and he said, you have taken my servant, give him back. And the Bhattaharis, they got so angry, they took up their swords to attack Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being God and being most merciful incarnation, doesn't have swords or chakra or anything like that. So he, utilizing his mystic power, or the Yogamaya power, the same swords that the Vataharis had picked up, started to attack the people who are holding them. You know, the swords just like turned on. It's like you have a gun and all of a sudden the gun turns on you. You know, you don't know what's happening. So the swords actually started slicing them up. And so then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grabbed his servant by the hair or whatever, and he saved his servant from the hands of the Bhattaharis. So that's an instance, you know, it shows the strength of the attachment or the attraction between men and women. I mean, it's very, very, very strong. So, let's see how much time we have. So, two stories showing how great devotees of the Lord would succumb or have succumbed to wealth and the opposite attraction to the opposite sex. And then there's another story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how a great devotee of the Lord was immune to those things. And that's the story of Ramananda Roy, who is also a brother of Gopinath Pattanayaka. Ramananda Roy is considered to be an incarnation of Arjuna and also Vishakha, you know, Vishakha and Arjuna. So he was an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one day, the story goes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Pradyumna Mishra, another great associate of Lord Chaitanya, went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked to hear about the same topics that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy discussed on the banks of the Godavari River. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you should go to see Ramananda Roy, and he'll tell you about these things. So he went, this person, Pradyumna Mishra, he went to see Ramananda Roy. And then Ramananda Roy wasn't there, but his servant was there. And his servant, Ramananda Roy's servant, relayed to Pradyumna Mishra that Ramananda Roy is now engaged in teaching the Devi Dasis how to dance for Lord Jagannath. Now, they were these very attractive young girls. They were called, this is a tradition in many temples, they were called the Devi Dasis. They didn't get married, and they would just like dance for the deities, not publicly. It's not like the modern style of dancing or even Bharatanatyam dancing that people would dance publicly in front of people. They would dance just for the pleasure of the deities. Later on, that became perverted and contaminated around the British time, that the Devi Dasis became like prostitutes, temple prostitutes. That's a perversion. But originally, they were actually girls who just remained dedicated to the deities to dance for the deities, and they weren't seen by anyone else. So Ramananda Roy was teaching the Devadasis how to dance in front of Lord Jagannath, and they were singing and dancing, utilizing one of his compositions, and I don't remember the name of the composition right now, but Jagannath Natakam or something like that. Natakam means like a dance of Lord Jagannath. So anyway, he was teaching them, and he was, in order to teach them, he had to show them all the different mudras, the positions and the hand, the hand postures, and then and how to hold their bodies. So he had to touch their bodies and also bathe them and put their jewelry on and everything like that. And so Pradyumna Mishra heard that, and he was thinking, what's going on here? Basically, he was thinking, what's going on here? And then Ramananda Roy returned, and it was late in the day. He said to Pradyumna Mishra, oh, you've been waiting for so long. What can I do for you? And Pradyumna Mishra, because it was late, he offered his obeisance, says, just to see you, this great fortune for me. And then he went back to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, how were the interactions between you and Ramananda Roy? And Pradyumna Mishra mentioned what Ramananda Roy had been doing. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ramananda Roy has a special prerogative. He said, even myself, he said, even if I hear the name of a woman, I feel changes. So he was showing how strong the attraction is between men and women. But Ramananda Roy, he fully identifies himself in terms of his spiritual identity, which is Vishakha. So, he understands and fully is identifying himself as a gopi, basically speaking. That's called the Siddhadeya, when one realizes one's Siddhadeya. So, therefore, there's no changes in his mind. His mind and his body are just like stone, in the sense that there's no response or no attraction in that way, even though he had an external body of a male. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this to Pradyumna Mishra, and Pradyumna Mishra went back there, and then he was able to hear all the talks about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna and appreciate the great exalted position of Ramananda Roy. So the point is that only one who is fully identifying with their spiritual body can be transcendental to these things. That means unless you're actually understanding, not only understanding what your Siddhadeya is, that's more than just understanding. It's not just like theoretical understanding in the spiritual world. Just like devotees ask me, not all the devotees, many devotees ask me, who am I in the spiritual world? And I usually joke around about it when they ask me that. I said, either you're a cow or a monkey or a dog or a pakora or something like that. And sometimes they even take me seriously when I say these things, but it's not, because it's something you have to realize that and confirm with the guru. You don't just ask the guru. There is some tradition of Siddha Pranali in our Sampradaya, but that's for very advanced devotees who are completely free of anartha. You give, then the guru would say, this is your position, this is your service, this is the way you dress, all these. It's called a Kadasha Bhava. That means the 11 aspects of your emotional expression to Krishna. But we don't do that. It was there traditionally, but it has become perverted, this whole Siddha Pranali process in Kali Yuga. It was a bona fide process, and it is a bona fide process, but not for us, don't worry. So one has to fully realize their spiritual body. That means not just know, but to be absorbed in your spiritual identity, with your consciousness fully absorbed. And then you're like the coconut, this dried coconut, where the inside is no longer connected to the outside. That even though the outside is still there, you still have some external life. People see something, but internally, you got something fully going on. And you don't tell it to people either. You don't say, internally, I'm really, you know, really thinking, you know, it was not me, but let's say someone was actually absorbed in giving class. I'm giving class, but actually right now I'm dancing with the gopis. But it'd be hard, kind of hard to do both things at the same time. You know, when you think about it, it's, for a conditioned soul, it'd be, I mean, I couldn't imagine like giving class and, you know, internally being absorbed and, you know, whatever, assisting Radha and Krishna. It takes all my attention just to give class. I'm not that good at multitasking. So, even using a computer and talking on the phone, I can't do properly. There's always a pause between each segment. So the point is, that's when one doesn't have to worry anymore, at that point. But before then, one has to be extremely cautious in their spiritual life, because as we see, Balavani Indriya Grama Vidvani Vikarshate, whether it's attraction due to wealth, whether it's attraction due to the opposite sex, whether it's attraction due to followers, Dhanam Janam Sundarim, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns us about these things in the Shikshashtaka, the Dhanam and Janam. And he gives some prerequisites before you can become, even wanting to become detached, is, what is it? That one has Trinadapi Sunichina. And you have to be extremely humble and understand. What does it mean to be humble? To understand that you're a servant of Krishna. It doesn't mean just to kowtow to everybody else. I mean, just like roll on the ground in some like artificial display of humility. But actually just understand, I belong to Krishna. The opposite of humility is I belong to myself. I have this, I and mine. That's the false ego. But real humility is nothing is mine, nirmana moha jita sangha dosha. That's Bhagavad Gita. That nothing is mine. Everything belongs to Krishna, manasa deha geha yokishimor arpilam tuya pade nandakishore. My mind, my body, my home. Everything is yours, nandakishore. And it's meant to be used for you 24 hours a day. It's yours. Even my soul belongs to you. And so, anyway, so that's absolutely necessary to understand. And that's how you can become free, at least initially, from this attractive Madonna, Trinadapi Sunichina. And then not only that, I'm a servant of you, and also I'm ready to serve all other living entities in your service. Manina, Manadena, offering respects to others. Not just externally, not like a Dandabhat devotee, but serving all living entities. Anyway, so these are some of the points. So any questions or comments? We got about 1 minute left to class. So we spoke about some stories about attraction to wealth, attraction to the opposite sex, and a great devotee who's attracted to neither because of his attachment.
So we have this example of Lord Chaitanya's servant. He was directly associated with Krishna.
That's right. We have the chance of being very careful. He was not careful. If we are alert and careful and recognizing, humble enough to recognize our fallible nature and be able to identify, you know, when we start to get attracted to material energy and not to contemplate on things and be very careful about interacting with the material energy. Like Krishna said, you Western boys and girls are not enough afraid of my work. We should be fearful. Because if this can happen with a great devotee, either Gopinath Patanayaka or Kala Krishna Das, then what to speak of ourselves, right? So if we're careful, we can avoid that. But if we're not careful, finished. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.